Raptors off today, traveling today in Orlando tomorrow, and the hardest working guy in show business, maybe outside of Noodles, who does work literally every single day, is our main man, Jack Armstrong, doing Jack's work for March Madness. Now he's down in Orlando. He's going to be calling the game tomorrow night, and he joins us now. What's happening, Jack?
Ryan, Noodles, Old Dog, how you guys doing?
We're all good.
We're doing real well, man. We got into it this weekend. We had a great time, and we were down in the States, a couple of us. Noodles, were you down in the States at all this weekend, or were you up here the whole time?
I was here, actually.
Okay. Well, always in Georgia. I was in Pittsburgh, and it's all about the Madness down in the States, and everything's about the 1 versus 16 upset. I mean, how did you respond to it when you're watching a 16 seed knock out a 1 seed?
You know, number one, the most important thing other than the Madness is St. Patrick's Day. So, unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to celebrate it because I'm working in the studio. So I'm in Orlando right now, so I plan on celebrating it this evening here as I prepare for the Raptor game tomorrow. But I would say that when you look at a 1-16, I mean, two games really jump out at me. UMBC just dismantling Virginia. It wasn't like a one-point thriller, buzzer-beater shot. I mean, they just destroyed Virginia in the second half. So, number one, that one to me. And then the other one was like Buffalo. They destroyed Arizona. I mean, so those two games to me, like, just absolutely blew me away in terms of the conviction, just the dominance that the lower seed had over, you know, I mean, Virginia, it was the best team in college basketball the whole year, thoroughly. And then, you know, Arizona arguably has three guys that'll be playing in the NBA in another year or two. So it was convincing.
Well, I saw something on Twitter last night that I made sure to document because I wanted to read it to you because everyone's buzzing about the amount of upsets and how crazy the first weekend was. In the history of the tournament, there has never been a region that has featured none of the top four seeds into the Sweet 16 until now. The South region down in Atlanta will feature a 5 seed, an 11 seed, a 7 seed, and a 9 seed. Like, is it crazier this year than years past, or is that recency bias with all these, you know, crazy, crazy stories already?
No, it's been remarkable. I mean, when you look at that region where it's Kentucky and Kansas State and Nevada and Loyola Chicago, and the fact that there's no top four seed, it's pretty amazing to me. The craziness of the whole tournament. But that's been the volatility of college basketball the entire year when you look at it. And to me, the teams that jump out at me right now that I look at and I say the eye test that are the legitimate, you know, if they play to the potential, Duke right now as well as Villanova, those two teams have really jumped out at me the most. And then probably Kansas. But Kansas isn't like that talented this year. They've had a great year, but I would say Duke by far is the most talented, and Villanova is just so sound. But those would be the two. But I mean, beyond that, I mean, you know, Kentucky has great young talent, but their young players, they could stub a toe in any moment.
With Jack Armstrong again, he's down in Orlando. Raptors taking on the Magic tomorrow night, and they're coming off a pretty wild afternoon yesterday at the ACC. They end up losing the game, but the bigger story became the ejections and the commentary postgame, where DeMar DeRozan went off again about the refs. Dwayne Casey, he had an interesting comment where out of one side of his mouth he was saying, you know, we can't let the emotions get carried away. We can't allow ourselves to get thrown off kilter because of the refs. But then out of the other side of his mouth, he's like, all we want is fairness and consistency.
They got Cleveland coming up, too. I mean, yeah. With LeBron, your cries for help are not going to be answered. No way, no how.
What do you make of this, Jack?
Well, I mean, first of all, Brian, you and I've used it with you before. You used the magical word, but, you know, and it's like when a girl's going to dump you. You're a nice guy, but you're getting dumped, you know, right. And it's the same thing. It's not what's said before the but, it's what's said after the but. And, you know, he's saying all the right things, but what's said after the but is I want better accuracy and better consistency. And I think he's pretty ticked off. And I'm sure you're trying to send, you fire the shot over the bow and let people know that you feel like you're not getting respected the way you should. And I understand that. I think he has a legitimate point. Do I think there's a conspiracy against Toronto? No, I don't think there is at all. I think that's utter nonsense. What I do think there is truly a lack of familiarity with just how good this team is, just how good this team has been the last 5 years. And I think when you have three guys come in and referee a game, the only time they see you basically is when they ref your game. And I think they see a lot of the other teams a lot more. And when there's a bang bang play and when there's action reaction, advantage disadvantage, reputation versus who is this dude? I never heard of him. It's going to kind of go that way. Do I think they're out and out screwing them? No, not at all. I think these guys come in to the arena and they try to do the best job they can. And I just think it's a matter of for the Toronto Raptors that they have to continue to prove themselves and continue to be successful. And then little by little, you'll earn your stripes. But by no means are you there yet.
Well, and there's a couple of different things on this that we've been pointing out throughout the afternoon. This is a market that feeds into the conspiracy theories because it's the only Canadian market. And I don't know if that's necessarily what Dwayne Casey is concerned about. In fact, I would guess he's not. He's concerned about interactions with his players and the refs and his own interactions with the refs. But this conspiracy theory is going to catch fire up here because there's a lot of inferiority complexes taking part where it's always been a belief that the American TV networks and the commissioner, why would they want the only Canadian team to have any success? So people are going to buy into it here. But what I would say and what I said, they could be in a position of complacency right now. This first seed, it's over. They're five up now on Boston. They are home free. They could have taken that loss yesterday, taken that non-call on DeMar and just said, forget it. Who cares? OKC, they're a good team. We're moving on. And they didn't. And there's a part of me that likes the fact that they're sparking some sort of animosity, some sort of intensity, because they're in a position where they really could just take their foot off the gas and coast to that top seed anyway.
No, I mean, these guys are angry and pissed off. I'm not going to kid you. They really believe that they're very good, and it's their time. And I think it's great. You must have heard my interview on NBA radio this morning because, and obviously those two hosts are from the United States, and they made the point like, hey, and I agree with them 100%. You go to Salt Lake City, you go to Portland, you go to Milwaukee, you go to a lot of smaller U.S. markets, and they all feel the same way Toronto does.
Right.
And even though Toronto is the only Canadian team in the league, if you're in those markets, they have the same feeling about the whole thing that we do. And, so I think you have to balance that a little bit. I really think it's a lack of familiarity, and I do think the Nielsen ratings play a part in it. You look at the Turner people and the Disney people, obviously ESPN, ABC. They gave nine years, $24 billion U.S. to the NBA, and in terms of the Nielsen ratings, they want big ratings, and they want the markets that are playing in the games to have the most reach and the better impact, best impact. And even though Toronto is the third largest market in professional sports in North America, and basically is the New York or LA of Canada, there still is this mindset that if we put them on, we'd lose a market. We're better off putting Phoenix on, or we're better off putting Dallas on, even though both of those teams suck. And to me, I think that's the challenge of it all, where you have on one side the owners and the players taking all this money from these networks. The networks are going to dictate terms. But on the other hand, the officials, they live in the U.S., so they're blown away on a daily basis with the narrative that it's the Cavs, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Celtics, and, no one else exists. And, you'll have teams like the Knicks and the Lakers playing, and they couldn't plan a one-car parade the last 5 years.
Right.
So you just got to keep fighting through that. And I do think this group's mindset is such that they're willing to do it. And I'll give you one example. Last Friday night when they played the Rockets, Chris Paul tried punking Fred VanVleet. You know what Fred VanVleet did? He got up into Chris Paul in the backcourt and got in his grill and didn't back down from one inch. Not an inch. And to me, I think that defines this team. And I think they just got to keep doing that. And I think if they do that, they'll prove themselves.
Jack, that's never going to change. They could win the NBA title this year. Next year, nobody down there would want to put them on TV again. It's just something they got to deal with and move on and play good basketball.
Well, you can throw it in everyone's face, right? If you're on, if you're in the NBA finals, man, you're going to be on ABC at least four times.
But Brian, they could win, and next year they'll still say, we don't want this game on. That market doesn't mean anything to us.
But that's okay, but that happens. That happens in San Antonio, too. Utah went to the NBA finals 2 years in a row. And they had Karl Malone and John Stockton, two of the all-time greats. You know, San Antonio's had Duncan and, you know, Parker and Ginobili and obviously David Robinson and so many others. And yet, you know, it's the same narrative there. But nonetheless, you got to keep after it. And I think this group, as much as I understand where they're coming from, now you've made your point. Now the point I'm making is the point they really have to make, and that is you got to go into games. And you can't give those three guys an opportunity to hurt you. You've got to hurt the guy you're playing across from so much that it's so overwhelming, so convincing. And even that might be just a one-point win. You find a way to do it.
Enjoy it down there. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day, Jack. And we'll catch up again down the road. Thanks, buddy.
All right. I'm about 30 seconds away from having my first pint, so I'll have it in your honor, guys.
All right. So nice. A minute away from your second pint. Enjoy both. All right, Jack?
All right, guys.
There he is, Jack Armstrong. A belated St. Patty's Day celebration in Orlando.
On a Monday night.
He loves the road.
Loves the road. And he's a big part of the March Madness coverage, which, of course, continues on TSN. And it's been a great weekend so far. It's been a great first couple of rounds. We're off to the Sweet 16, and we'll start teeing that up later in the week.